Hi, you're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hello, and thanks for joining us today on Boggy Talk.
Yeah, we have like more room at the table because we don't have any special guests today.
I mean, we've been together, but it feels like a reunion, doesn't
it? Yes, it does.
It kind of feels like when your family's been like all busy doing stuff and happy over, and then you're just like together.
And you have like, you actually sit down at the same time for a meal, and you're like, hey, how are you? What's your name?
Yeah, haven't seen you in a while.
A, I just called you guys family.
Aw, sweet.
B, I accidentally called our other staff not family.
They're definitely reading into that right now.
I didn't mean it that way.
There's definitely someone fuming.
We're all family. Yeah,
this whole staff.
The OG. I mean, but really, y'all are the OG. So
we are the OGs.
That's right, man. The old geezers.
Original gangsters.
Yeah,
I know what it means. Come on, putting on the Ritz. That's what that means.
I know what it means.
I did get some texts from some younger people at church about the last social media thing. They're like, I can't believe you pronounced this way. And I believe my dad didn't know that such and such was.
Which one of us didn't know something?
It was one of yours.
Oh, wow.
What didn't he know?
It was something about WhatsApp. It's not. Oh. He was joking that it was
Zynga. You didn't know what Zynga was.
No,
right?
I know. I had Zynga. I know what Zynga was.
You're talking about WhatsApp.
Yeah, WhatsApp social media? What?
I don't know. It was just funny, you know. But
a lot of people have talked to me about doom scrolling in the last week.
Yeah,
really?
I think they were floored that I didn't know what doom scrolling was.
Yeah,
I guess I like did, but didn't
yeah, get... that's the actual name for it.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'd heard. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop judging me.
Oh yeah, we got some judgy people. We had in our children.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
It
yeah.
was all fun. But hey, the younger crowd's listening to us.
Hey,
so
that's good.
That's good.
Wow.
We're not completely old geezers yet. So, well, we did have a short little series that we did that we got to see kind of behind the scenes of different ministries and things going on. You guys have any reflections, highlights on that?
One, I think everybody just did a really good job articulating.
Most everybody. I'm just kidding. Everybody did.
And now we're going to rank them
Who
did the best. But I think what was awesome to hear really everyone's heart. Like, I think you hear behind the, this is what I'm doing, but this is why I'm doing it.
Right.
From discipleship with adults to students, kids, even social media and worship. Like, and Adam Scott mentioned this a few weeks ago.
I know.
I was like,
cool.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
But just
glad he accepted our payment.
That's right. Thanks for listening, Adam. Yeah. But just how that is communicated. Praise God for that. Thank you, Lord, for a staff that gets it.
Yeah, that was a cool shout out, and I thought like he articulated it well. Like, there's such intentionality and vision, and I do think like I was actually impressed. Like having because I listened to everyone just to make sure Justin doesn't accidentally forget something really stupid that I said that
should have
been edited.
Cut out.
Take that out. I did take something out of last week's. Anyway.
Did you? Oh,
yeah,
okay. You have to tell me later. But anyway, I was like, wow, okay, you know, like. We're really striving for this.
Yeah.
Not saying we're perfect or whatever.
No, man, but, we got ways to go, but we've come so far.
Yeah, it's cool to hear. It's cool. I'll stop there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really cool to hear and see who God's brought to the table. And, I'm grateful. So
it's a blessing to be on a staff that you guys. It's just kind of a shared vision and goal, and that you're not having to create that yourself. You know that everybody else has an ownership piece in that, and that's really important.
I know this is a tension to manage, so there's probably shifts and seasons that we all feel differently, but I do feel like this is an environment where we're pushing to do more for the kingdom, but it doesn't feel like everything hangs on numbers and, growing and success and, in world's eyes. And I do feel like by God's grace, because of a healthy congregation, a great foundation, great staff, and then again, just God's grace. It really is a great. I do think there's a lot to learn from like what's happening here in terms of, again, pushing towards let's do more, let's be more effective, but not like, we don't, and I aren't walking in the staffs, why are these numbers this?
Exactly.
How come you had seven less children this week? How come you had seven less students?
I learned it from you. Yeah, that's how I feel like. It's just awesome
where
to
are the
see.
Real vibes or subscribes.
That's right. Yeah, I think.
Check out my analytics.
That's right. I think it's cool, too, to see, you know, and this is
we need Alani to sponsor us.
Yes, come on, hashtag as you take your sip. There you go. It's nice and slow. It's really, yeah, there yeah. you go.
Hope the real short gets that.
You know, I think we rolled out this year some staff ethos statements just about what we want to have as our mindset as a staff. Yeah. And I think it wasn't like, hey, we got to change everything. It's really a reflection of, hey, these are some things that are happening, but we want to be clear about right. who we yes. want to be as a yeah. staff. And I think what's great is some of those are starting to pop up in random conversations yeah. or just in yeah. Our talk when we're evaluating. And even reflected somewhat in how people were sharing on Boggy Talk. You know, one of the first ones is that everything begins and ends with a discipleship. And I think you heard, maybe not those explicit words in everything, but you heard that theme mm-hmm. In everyone's mm-hmm. talking about their ministry, that this is about making disciples. This is about reaching people. Yeah. It's good.
Good.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Mm-hmm.
Did you like it, Kelly? Was it fun?
Yeah, it was great. Okay. I mean,
she's like, yeah, it was not y'all.
No. It was great, and I liked the games, and I think it's just always neat to see people's hearts. And you know, I work kind of in the middle, the back part around everyone, and so it's just cool to be able to, you know, celebrate what's going on in their ministry and them and all the hard work. And
yes, so Kelly yeah, gets cool. the most office noise of anyone because you are literally in the middle of yeah. everyone are outside the comment, you know, where all the yeah. cubicles are, and yeah, you have a good handle on how everyone actually works
actually
and their personalities. Some people are like, it's just because I'm like this. And Kelly's like, actually, you're not like that. That is not how you are.
Oh, no. It's good. I love the effect there.
The stories we can tell.
The stories. Yeah. Secret safe with me, guys. Anyway.
You're not near shot distance of Steve's ringtones, though. I can hear his ringtones
this
whenever
is true.
I
think yes. we all can hear
this. We all can hear
Oh, you can?
His yeah. watch, his there. Laptop, mm-hmm. and his oh, okay, phone all okay, woof at the okay. same time.
Yeah. Okay.
Everywhere. Oh man. Well, how are you all doing since
y'all both looked at me like I'm supposed to answer first. Fine, I think. Yeah. Leading into the week of Easter, it's a hectic week this week for sure, with additional logistics, rehearsals, setting up the gym for concurrent services,
yeah.
which by the way is not a live stream. There will be a live band over there. Just a lot, but I think also grateful, thankful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
We, you know, in our home, we're getting ready for graduation, which is
yeah,
wild.
That's a big
amidst
wow.
all the other things that are mm-hmm. happening with all the other children and their, yeah. You know, things they've got going on, mm-hmm. not just activities, but in life. So, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. yeah, there's never a dull moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, we baseball season, our family doesn't do, hasn't for several years. So it's like we're home. Mm-hmm. For dinner together as a family more
okay.
and pretty much after spring break until summer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a sweet season for us.
Yeah.
Summers used to be that way, but now we're all traveling and all over the place. So we're not necessarily together. So this is kind of like a little more steady time for me. And so
yeah.
I'm doing well. I'm grateful for that. And then, excited about this weekend. I mean, so we have Good Friday. Mm-hmm. I just think it's such a meaningful celebration of what Christ has done for us and who we are in Christ. We actually have some baptisms coming up this Saturday at the beach.
Nice.
About at least five people getting mm-hmm. baptized mm-hmm. who have needed to. And so that's going to be sweet on Saturday morning. And
yeah.
then, of course, Easter. And I'm just proud of our church because the effort that's put in and the people that are invited, and hopefully everybody's praying for their one at one.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
Cool. One of my, I have three at one, and one just like randomly texted me. I
wow.
never texted. I know.
Yeah.
I know. So, you know, I'm like, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
there it is. There's
yeah.
the softball.
That's,
you know,
that's right. So. I know mm-hmm. like, God yeah. answers those prayers. I think why are we sometimes like, oh, we're surprised. Like,
yeah.
yeah.
We
yeah.
shared that in life group last night, and three different people talked about how, like, the conversation started itself. Like, they didn't even have to
yeah,
initiate the conversation with the person. They were
Holy Spirit.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
One at work, one at school, and one at the gym. So,
yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
That's awesome.
It is. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a neat thing, too, I think, because it just reminds us, and we always need to be in that posture, but, you know, to be asking the Lord to just awaken our eyes
yeah,
to people
right.
out there. And when you have that perspective, it really changes
yeah.
everything and how you
yeah.
interact with mm-hmm. anyone, you know, people
yeah.
that you know and that you don't
yeah.
know. So it was encouraging to me, and I'm like, I need to do this all the
How
time.
Are you?
Great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of the same as you, is like sports are done. I feel like kids' schedules are kind of slowing down. So I keep like, is everything fine? You know, when it's not like
what
crazy.
Am I, that feeling of what
yeah.
am I forgetting?
I've been
yeah.
feeling that a lot. Like, mm-hmm. okay, keep checking things. You know, we got everything. So that's good. But same. My husband's schedule, he's gone a lot during the summer, so I feel like stuff will just start ramping up and, you know, won't really be.
Yeah, he's got all those school conferences to attend. Yeah.
I thought he was hiking that AT.
He is going. He's doing the Ridge to Ridge or something at the Grand Canyon.
Okay.
But that is, that's the summer, actually. Okay. Yeah. So, but most of it is work trips. So. Yeah. So we've been talking about Easter, but before we get to that, we have some other events. So next Friday, we have a family night out.
Yeah, for all the Venture Kids families.
No, yeah, on the 25th.
Oh, man. For a wedding. Oh, Joanna has been, she's been waiting for the daddy.
Really?
She was like, why aren't we doing it? And I was like, we are. It's just not in February because February was crowded. So
Cameron is taking Esther.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, that's so
sweet. Of course he is. Mm-hmm.
That'll be great.
Of course he is. Way to go, Cameron.
Mm-hmm. I know.
That'll be super sweet.
Yeah.
We also
do something so that Esther doesn't have to go to therapy for me now.
Make it up another
night.
Yeah,
that's right.
We also have a new Foundations equipping class that's going to be coming up. Mm-hmm. So that will be cool. Mike will be teaching that one. And then
does that start next Sunday, the 27th?
Yes, it starts the Sunday after Easter. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And really, he's covering, I mean, the foundations, you know, who is God, who is Jesus.
We have newer people coming to the church right now.
Yeah, it's
so,
a great time, just foundation. If you're not connected to a life group, it's a great first step because it's 4 weeks, and then you can step into life group after that. But it's just foundational doctrine things,
Yeah, that's neat. And then in May, the first, we have the students will have a Wild Willies night.
Yeah, that's right.
And
which sounds scandalous, but it's just the park.
I kept calling it Wet Willies last year.
that sounds scandalous. Maybe that's why it's in my mind.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know what. Yeah, Wild's pretty bad.
It's just an outdoor ropes course and putt.
Yeah.
Okay, over by the track area. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, so
on Okaloosa Island.
Lots of things, but before that, Easter Sunday. So, why do we even celebrate Easter?
Because Jesus is alive every day, so why do we make a big deal about Easter?
Legitimately. Yeah. Legitimately. Right. Yeah. Legitimately.
I just, every time we had this conversation, I just picture Francis Chan, and I heard, you know, and he's like, what is the deal with Easter?
You gotta do this, though.
Yes, right. You know, I don't want to, you know, overdo it. But he's just, how do you make a bigger deal of the resurrection? That's what we celebrate every day. But culturally, our culture is attuned to the fact that there is an Easter Sunday, and it's kind of just written, in, at least in the South, in this area, and I think in other places in our country, that, hey, you maybe should go to church on Easter.
Yeah.
Well, there are, let's kind of back up. So there are churches that follow a very liturgical calendar, and so they do emphasize different aspects of Christ's life throughout the year. And so those churches that would do Easter, it makes sense, right? Like, hey, that's when they do that. We don't as many other churches don't do that. So then it's like, but you do Easter and Christmas, you know, and like you said, the reason we do is because it is an opportunity, you know, specifically Easter, people will go to church, you know, and not necessarily for the best of intentions, but we hope that they will hear the gospel here and either maybe come back, maybe get saved that day, or at least then know, hey, at some point, there's going to be truth there. You know, there's going to be, I'm going to be welcome there.
Right.
And so it isn't a great, it is a great opportunity for us. People, it is funny because I say Happy Easter and people will be like, well, Happy Resurrection Sunday to me. And I'm like, well, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday.
Right,
yeah. So, you know.
Happy day of the week. That's what
right.
I kind of remember that about 10 years ago, seeing people would, you know, like the way they would say it on social media or whatever.
They would cancel Easter.
Yeah, but like they would say Happy Resurrection, you know, and like whatever if you say that. But I was always like, what's
wrong
with saying that?
But
you know,
don't
they, you guys grew up in church. Did they say Easter or Resurrection Sunday or what?
I always said Easter.
Okay.
It was Easter until a certain time, and then until
Joshua Harris kissed dating goodbye.
I don't know.
Then y'all changed.
No, like I was an adult.
Then y'all kissed Easter goodbye.
I was an adult. My dad, though, he was very, he was so funny. And I mean, this kind of goes along with the next question, but we would celebrate Easter, but he would not, like, let my mom let us get, like, candy or do of the, like the Eastery, like the bunnies and anything like that. And I just remember like, what, you know, is, but he was just, he's not like that as much now, but he was very like, didn't want to decorate that way or whatever.
It's so. Because if they lied to you about Santa and Easter, then you would think they were lying about Jesus too.
I guess. Well, we never did Santa.
That was like the argument, right? And do you know, have you ever met anyone who's like, yeah, I'm not a Christian because my parents, lied to me about Easter and Santa?
It's just, it is funny. Our reason for not doing Easter baskets was much more pragmatic. One is just that we would forget and we were just like, didn't have money to buy all this extra candy. And we don't need extra candy in our house anyway.
I'm a little tired on Easter Sunday. It's just not so I'm like, I'm not putting effort. Usually my parents like do, they come over and do stuff with the kids for that. So, and now most of my kids are too old to care.
We do like egg hunts after, you know, we had that kind of stuff. Yeah. That's fun. That's fun when you're older. Yeah, yeah. You know, like your kids are older. Our teenagers still like
You still like egg hunts?
I like to do. I like to hide the eggs from my kids, make it hard. Yeah, that you know, fun. It's just fun.
Anyway. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I get it that there are Christians that are like, you know, about that kind of stuff because of the pagan ties and all that. I get it. I just think, you know, I think we've talked about this before on Boggy Talk. It's one of those things I think there's a liberty there, and
Agreed.
So you're probably Bay Shore at the end of the day probably isn't going to be the church for you if you're like hard on like we shouldn't celebrate anything cultural, you know.
There are like, churches out there. If you want us to have the Easter bunny here on Sunday, you're going to be disappointed. If you think that we shouldn't do anything special, you're going to be disappointed,
That makes sense. So what will it look like here then?
Lots of pastels.
We're going to have an Easter hare and not a bunny. So that's what it's going to look like. We're going to just rename it. So
have Easter hare?
Like a rabbit
hair. Oh, I thought you meant everyone's hair
gonna
was going to be.
Special haircut. He's going to have a special haircut.
H-A-R-E.
I got you.
Okay. He's got his spring
that's
hair.
That's right. I got spring hair on my mustache right here.
If you're listening, so just, Justin is sporting a mustache.
Just
now,
wait until the Easter hare.
That's right. Oh, so what's it going to look like here? I mean, a lot like a normal Sunday because we celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. We have three worship services, 8, 9, 30, 11. They're all identical, not different styles. We do have a concurrent service happening in the gym at 9, 30, and 11. There will be live music over there. We have a band that'll be over there, as well as the sanctuary, kind of doing the same songs, just a different arrangement. It won't just be a straight up live stream. The preaching, the sermon will be live streamed over there, but recorded and played. But that's just
hologram,
because,
right?
Yes, right. We have hologram. We've invested a lot of money in this awesome projector. That will make it look like you're popping up from the ground. It'll be great. And really we're asking some of our regular attenders to just commit to be in there. One, to like prime it, so when people do have to go in there, it doesn't feel empty. Two, just to make space in the sanctuary for those who would come and just want to be part of that. We have a photo booth, because what is Easter without a photo booth? It'll be located in our courtyard area. It's going to be great. Our communications department's made it awesome. And beyond that, I mean, what else do we say about it? It's like a normal Sunday. James is going to preach. It'll be about the resurrection, about our need for Jesus.
Wear a jacket on Easter.
And get usually wear a jacket.
I mean,
get new shoes for Easter. That's
there you go. We'll have
the
worship team, band, choir, all the things.
Yeah.
People
it's gonna be great.
Yeah. And people will be excited. I mean, there is an excitement about that day.
There is. Yeah.
That is cool. No life groups.
No life groups on Sunday. That's true.
Yeah, if you can serve one and attend one, that'd be awesome.
So if you've not signed up to serve, Connect Team needs people, Parking Team, and Kids Ministry. So
yeah, I'm excited about the concurrent thing. I think that's great that you guys have added live music. That
and coffee. There will be coffee over
there,
too.
Oh, yes. This is huge, you guys.
Coffee.
So I'm actually going to be preaching live in there.
That was wonderful. Well, we're really looking forward to it. It's going to be great. We're going to kind of change gears. We had a couple of questions come in.
We have, yeah.
So the first one is about a church called New Spring Church, and they were part of the SBC, but recently they left. They're not.
Yes.
They're no longer a part of that. Yeah. So what was the reasoning behind that?
Yeah. So they. What happens if someone thinks a church should no longer be a part of the SBC because they don't align with a Baptist faith and message is someone recommends, you know, basically says that to the credentials committee, submits a formal, you know, inquiry of that church. The credentials committee investigates that. It's a rotating group of people that are appointed by the SBC. And then they make a recommendation to the executive committee, mm-hmm. which is kind of like the board of the SBC. Mm-hmm. I happen to serve on that right now. And then if they recommend they're dismissed, then that's it, unless that church appeals. Mm. And then they're heard at the SBC. Well, what happened with this one is somebody filed a complaint, if you want to use that word, about New Spring Church because they have a female teaching pastor, mm. and that does not align with the Baptist faith and message. However, the credentials committee failed to act upon that. They didn't uh-huh. think that they were in violation of the Baptist faith and message.
Okay.
Lot there. But then once that was found out, so as an executive committee member, I never even heard about this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I probably should have heard about this just from reading and standing for them, but it never came to us because they didn't think they needed to be
yeah.
removed. Mm-hmm. Well, people found out that that wasn't, you know, acted upon by the credentials committee. It started mm-hmm. causing all this blah, 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 blah
on those know, exact
Twitter.
Sounds. Yeah,
that's right. What it is on Twitter.
It is noise.
And then New Spring eventually was just like, hey, we're just going to pull out.
Yeah.
Because okay. we don't want to be a source of mm-hmm. contention here. So,
yeah.
Wow.
What yeah. do we think? My reaction was, oh, they were SBC.
I know. It's like Elevation yeah. when they pulled out too,
yeah.
right? Yeah.
I mean, I didn't realize
I think there's
that.
A couple of factors. I mean, that's a great synopsis of the story. And I think a piece of this too is like they come off as like, hey, we don't want to cause drama, which I think is probably genuine. They don't want to cause dissension. But also, it's a large church.
Massive.
And I think their perspective is, we don't really need the SBC, like Elevation. We don't really need
yeah.
to be a part of it because they probably are doing their own things. They're funding their own mission.
Yeah,
and
right.
it may not be, you know, we're not getting into whether it's what the best or the best practice. I don't
right.
no
yeah.
I don't even know.
Right.
But the cooperative effort that was required from them, it just probably from their perspective is like,
yeah.
it's just why would
yeah.
we continue when this is the deal?
Yeah, there's probably a bigger picture, which we're going to talk about the SBC for a few weeks leading up to the SBC this year and mm-hmm. following the SBC. So I'll probably save some of that for then. But there is a bigger picture of like the cooperative program mm-hmm. and its future and all that. And mm-hmm. I think we'll get into that then. But yeah, at the end of the day, you know, there's been this kind of divide amongst Southern Baptists as to whether or not a church that has a woman speak
mm-hmm.
Is in violation, like preach on a Sunday morning,
yeah.
is in violation of the Baptist faith and message.
Mm-hmm.
I think the consensus amongst Southern Baptists is if she's in a role of like teaching pastor, they are in violation of the Baptist faith and message. And they have her labeled as teaching pastor on their church.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't like, I was talking with a pastor last week who's like, we have a woman, she speaks every couple months in our church. She's not a pastor, but we feel like benefit, you know, for her to share from God's word. That's debated too,
mm-hmm.
but this is kind of even a step further in that. So I would say that the consensus,
mm-hmm.
the majority of Southern Baptists do believe, hey, this isn't a Baptist.
Yeah.
This isn't a Baptist practice.
Right.
And so, you know, there was people defending, but it's like, she's literally listed as teaching
yeah.
pastor on the,
it's not like they were trying to hide it.
Yeah.
yeah.
They were like, yeah, that's what she does. And
yeah. In their defense, mm-hmm. basically that group says that amongst Southern Baptist, their senior pastor is the
mm-hmm.
only role
mm-hmm.
that should be, has to be a man.
Yeah.
yeah.
And the Bible really never makes a distinction between like that senior pastor, lead pastor
mm-hmm.
title, like isn't really there. You know?
Right.
So
yeah.
like we're kind of getting into this
yeah.
like debate about something that's not necessarily
mm-hmm.
in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So I would say that they were in, what's the right word? I don't want to say defiance.
Violation.
You know, they were
like,
not
in compliance.
Practicing
yeah.
consistent
yeah.
with the Baptist faith and message, nor
yeah.
were they practicing consistent with what
yeah.
they would have been voted out.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think on their end too, they're probably like, we're going to do this. So rather
yeah,
than
right.
stay and call it, we don't want to fight. We don't,
yeah.
we're not,
yeah.
we're not trying to, we're doing it. And then we're not going
right.
to change. And you're not going to change our minds. You're
mm-hmm.
going to practice this way. So
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
it just wouldn't make sense for them to stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
You know, so it makes
yeah.
sense that they left.
yeah, and this comes back to the issue, like, most Baptists do not think that churches that have women teaching are a bunch of people who are going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
However, they don't convictionally believe that should be practiced in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
based on the Bible. and therefore they're not Baptist, you know? Right, so yeah. Like, that's
there you go.
There's a lot more nuances, but that's kind of what happened and what I think about it.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's positive that it didn't completely blow up, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Now we're not even getting to get into Perry Noble, the former pastor of that church.
Yeah, that was so wacky, crazy. And all that. Man, I heard him speak one time, and there was like a lot of red flags with him just speaking at a conference. Like
the funniest Perry Noble thing, you know, he's just an interesting guy, and he has a very regular social media presence, and he was like doing this like reel on Instagram or whatever. Mm-hmm. His dog was using the bathroom in the back of the reel.
Oh, man.
Yes, I do remember that. Yes, he didn't even know.
People lit him up for that, you know. So
you didn't delete
that probably
it. Come
summarizes
on.
Like,
yeah,
yeah. I want to be careful
there's
there.
More but, to
yeah,
that yeah, whole yeah, picture. Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. Oh man. Yeah. Well, we had another question. There's an organization called Send Relief. And they're a ministry that's funded through the SBC's cooperative program. They, I guess, recently entered a contract, and it's a financial contract with the U.S. State Department and World Relief. Sorry, I'm reading this. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is they're helping international refugees, and they're settling them in Boston. So I guess there's a lot of debate about this Send Relief, which is SBC. I don't know, collaborating, working together, whatever, with a state entity. So what are your thoughts
on that? This was posted on a blog that was sent to us. And basically what the person on this blog is saying is that they're in violation of that. I can't read Roman numerals very well. I think it's 17, the religious liberty.
That is 17.
That is 17. Look at that. I remember that. basically saying there's a statement in there that says the church should not – this is what's highlighted on his blog, basically – there's a statement in that section of the Baptist Faith and Message that says the church should not resort to the civil power to carry on its work. And so, I mean, I think he's trying to make the case that the church is doing that, resorting to the government to do its work.
Yeah.
And the Send Relief, you know, is not a church, but it is part of the SBC and churches. It is this arm that helps churches like ours and other cooperating churches do ministry work like this that we probably could not do on our own. So it really comes down to how you define resort to the civil power. And I think you were about to say something, then I'll say something. I was just going to say, I think that, I mean, I read that as the church is abdicating its responsibility to the government to do something and saying we're not involved. Mm-hmm. And that is not what's happening here. Like, they are doing it, and the government's saying, we recognize this as a need too, and we have funds available. And Send Relief is saying, all right, we'll do the work. I mean, what I don't know is what stipulations are involved in it and what is limiting about receiving funds. And that's not highlighted in the article. I do know that sometimes with federal funding, there are limitations. However, oftentimes there's not, specifically when you get to the state level. But even with federal funding for programs like this, there usually are not stipulations for faith-based organizations.
Yeah, there's not.
And so basically saying the government's saying, hey, we know that there is a need to help these refugees, and they need help. And we recognize there's a lot of organizations who are already doing it, who will do it way more efficiently and effectively with these funds than the government will. Mm-hmm. So here's the funds. Go do the work.
Yeah.
Now, another point he brought up is that the church should not be held into account to the government, basically. So I'm sure that there is accountability in this. They have to report how they use their funding. But that doesn't mean the church is the Instant Relief is subject to this.
Right.
So I think what's happening here is there's an agenda, and there is a parsing of words to fit that agenda.
Right.
And I think it's okay.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of layers to this. So, and this hasn't picked up like major news or Twitter feed or whatever. In fact, you know, the how we ended up with it was a local guy who is always trying to cause fire. Not the person who sent us the question, but the guy who shared. He's always trying to get attention. Like, look at me, listen to me, listen to what I have to say. He's always trying to start something. And I don't mind saying that, you know. And I won't say his name. But anyway, so had this been the Trump administration, this person would have never. Who, like, blogged this or shared this blog. Not the person who asked us a question, you know, but the people, the I won't call them celebrities because they're not famous, but you know,
the author.
There is that bias. Religious organizations have taken government funding to assist what they're doing forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, since our nation's inception.
Yeah.
And so this is not uncommon. This is not the first time Send Relief, which is a part of NAM, IMB, this specifically NAM, you know, this is not the first time they've done that. What Justin said was very accurate. It doesn't mean they're held accountable or there's even stipulations. A lot of times the government, city, state, national government recognizes the work Christians are doing and do not have the people to do it, but do have the funds to do it. Mm-hmm. It matches what has been bills that have been passed. And so they give them money to one more child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, receives funding to do some of what they're doing.
That's exactly what
we're just talking
say.
About Baptist Life, Florida Baptist Convention occasionally to do some of the things they're doing. So that is not uncommon. I do think that some organizations have gotten in trouble because they relied too heavily on government funding.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is why we've seen certain adoption agencies go liberal.
That happened with Bethany Christian Services.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, so there's a danger in that. But again, this is not uncommon. And to me, and this is the part I would get really passionate about here, and I feel like I can say this as having been a foster parent and adopted, like, so I agree that there should not be group homes and there should not be orphanages, but why are more Christians not doing something about it?
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So if we don't want this to happen, anyone who criticizes this, have you done anything about refugees?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you done anything about, and if not, with all due respect, you don't have a voice in this conversation.
Right.
But just to be clear, I'm not saying your opinion doesn't matter. I'm not saying you're not right about the issue, but like, no one's really listening to those who aren't doing anything about it, you know? And I do think so many Christians are like so consumed with like what politicians are doing and what laws are happening instead of realizing what Article 17 is trying to say,
right?
Yeah.
That this is the responsibility of believers. And so I'm not saying everybody has to have as many kids in their house as I do or you do or, you know, whatever it means, but we're all supposed to do something about this instead of just leaving up to the government. And I'm thankful that what Sin Relief is doing is really just coordinating lay people, Baptists, who are saying we're going to care for refugees. And the government even recognizes the power of the church not advocating its responsibility. And so, again, that doesn't necessarily change the philosophical argument, but like the reason the government is involved in so many of these things is because the church does advocate its responsibility.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
what Article 17 is saying. That was the heart behind it. The church never stopped doing social work.
Exactly. And I think, you know, you hit
on this.
Appreciate it. But I mean, I think from another perspective, this is exactly what we should want from Christian ministries. We should conduct ourselves with such high standards and such great care and such great reach that the government is like, yes, please do this work and we'll fund it. I mean, that happens. I mean, think in the state of Florida with one more, you mentioned one more child. I mean, the state of Florida actually has appropriations for one more child who is explicitly Christian, explicitly gospel focused, has appropriations in our state budget for them to do anti-trafficking work. And they're not only doing that in Florida, they're doing that in Tennessee and Ohio and Guatemala. And they have other countries coming to them saying, we need your expertise. So why would we not want this to happen? You know, if, as long as there's nothing, you know, that's restrictive to the mission and heart. I mean, I know what's going to happen. They're going to continue to share the gospel and help these families not just resettle, not just flourish, but ultimately, should they receive, find Jesus.
Right.
And I think that's, should we not want that, you know?
And that does happen.
Even as a, I mean, take it into a smaller scale, even our church here in this community, meeting needs of the community, we do it because, we want to meet those needs, but we want people to know Jesus.
Right.
And so when we held Night to Shine and we opened it up to the chamber and people gave money, like not everybody who sponsored that event was a believer. But they gave and they're invited to see what's happening. And so there's just this great opportunity here that I think we can't miss out on.
There's a statement that I've heard, you know, we live in a very conservative area that I've heard people use that says when the shekels come the shackles. And like, that's not a biblical principle. It's not in Proverbs, you know. So like, I would say that a better way to say it would be, with the shekels could come the shackles. And so like,
that's absolutely true.
There, we need to be aware when Biden's administration or Trump's administration or whoever, a person in our church is like, hey, I want to give some money. Like,
but
what is, you know, you can't buy me. You know, we have to be aware of that, but we have, that doesn't mean we can't, you know, accept that. You know? So like, cause like there's schools, Christian schools want to accept Pell Grant, you know, I get it, you know, our church returned the PPP money. I don't know if you know this, but like all these churches, I mean, churches in our community got millions,
our church millions returned it of dollars.
And I was like, why are we returning this? But I got outvoted, you know, and I didn't really have a voice, but like, I was like, whatever. But like, they just didn't want there to be any, you know,
connection to it at all. I think the article seemed a little, I mean, saying it was a Trojan horse was kind of strong. Like, if you look at the actual article that's referenced, I feel like, and you guys pointed to this, the tone behind it was more, is more protection for the church, also saying that, and this goes back to, you know, our country being founded, the reason why we left England was for religious liberty, you know, and they didn't want a state church telling them what they had to do. And that's how the background that I read that article, not saying that we can't ever work together. It's just saying that they don't need to have control over the church. So anyways.
We both have strong opinions about the whole part.
It's great. It's good to know.
It's good.
So another question, completely different subject, but there we sponsor some pastors in India. And just a lot going on over there, some persecution. How are you hearing that people have been doing, going through that, how they're
actually, I spoke with them this morning before we recorded this, and incredibly hopeful. I mean, so much better than we would probably. They are, I mean, there is increasing hostility, persecution in that country. You know, because of the government, we've referenced that before on this. But, you know, they're seeing it kind of, it primarily was more northern, and they've seen it creep in where they are. And he was telling me there was a pastor who was killed in a state next to them, not in their state, in the past week. And so any time, even though it's a country with like well over a billion people, the Christian community, it feels like everybody knows each other. And so news travels fast. And so and it very much for them is they feel connected to that. You know, the individual pastors that we've supported have experienced being chased out of villages, violence. One was held hostage for 24 hours with threats. And so I think, but they're just incredibly hopeful. And it's really not deterring. Actually, I think it fuels them for their mission. And they're just, they continue to go hard and, reaching people. In fact, one of the things that he shared with me this morning was how they have two long-existing churches that he has pastored for a while that he has new leaders raised up to take over so that he can multiply. It's like, that's just awesome. What great things. So they are hope-filled, but I think it shows that the support and encouragement that we as a church give is vital.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it all kind of like ties together in the sense that like we typically think like what the church needs is, you know, administration in our country that's going to favor us for the gospel to go forth. Now, do I want to vote for laws that are, you know, favorable to the church? Of course, but God doesn't need any of that, you know, and and I remember, you know, conversations with people in India where, you know, government funding wasn't necessarily going to what the church was doing, but like secular funding was going to what the church was doing. Cause like, they're like, they see what Christians are doing and they admire that. And so, I think. Anyway, just bringing that full circle, but I don't have anything to add. We're thankful for those guys.
And continue to pray for the fruit. The harvest for sure.
I was just reading this morning, I'm in Matthew and Matthew 10 specifically. So he's, you know, telling them like, do not fear what they can do to you. And we don't have to deal with that as much over here. You know, you think about the fear people have just inviting someone to Easter and, you know, these people over here are losing their lives. So it's, you know, a great reminder of the freedom that we have here and the ability to do that. And so we need to capitalize on that for sure, because God's put us here for that time. So invite people to Easter. Share the gospel.
Things. He's alive.
Absolutely. Well, if you have any other questions for us, you can email me at kelly@churchonbayshore.org. And thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.